You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how's it hanging, Corey?
What's the deal, Greg? Had a good night last night. Was up late doing fantasy football and rocking and rolling. Yeah, had my... had an auction last night. You know what I'm saying? This one play out fab and all of that. So I was able to complete the auction and still come to work today. So I'm showing my stamina early.
I'm quite impressed, to be honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excited to go over the prices with you, compare it to my auction.
And that's going
to
be fun.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm always excited to talk auctions. I think more people need to talk.
More people need to do play fantasy football. Auctions are awesome. You know what I'm saying?
They're awesome. How long did it take?
Took 3 hours, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we got in there and we got it done, you know what I mean? Like I said,
how would you say
I'm a big man, Scott. You know what I'm saying? I do auction, coming to work the next morning with no problem. You know what I'm saying?
Was it a live auction or online?
It was online.
Fair enough. Scotty, what's going on?
Busy night working, doing articles and things like that. You know, I can do an auction and an article in the same day. You know, I updated my first round guide completely on rotoexperts.com. Check out an exclusive edge fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King. Check out for a special discount. Also, our special offer to play with pro wrestling announcer Josh Matthews, an exclusive fantasy football league. Check it out. And then, you know, I was watching some baseball this morning. It always strikes me how, like, Greg, how, like, kickers and closers are just, like they just remind me so much of each other. If you play fantasy sports, it's like I'm reading how Blair Walsh had like a terrible season last year, and now he hit 252 yarders in the last preseason game. His confidence is back, you know. And then I see Sam Dyson, where people drafted and he lost the job and people cut him, has converted 12 of his last 13 save chances for San Francisco. These kickers and these closers, man, it's like you're out 1 minute, you're in the next.
It's amazing. In both situations, the manager or the coach, these guys get chance. It's remarkable, to be honest.
It's
very wild. Manny Mel, how's it going?
It is going well. Good morning. Yesterday I stated if Odell fell to 7, I would take him. It is the best ball format, which makes it a little easier. But if it wasn't, I would have taken him at 7, and I was happy about that.
Oh, he did fall to 7.
Yeah, I think Shady went 5, Evans went 6.
Mm. That's crazy. I'm still bewildered by that. But we have no.
I don't think anything had to do with the injury why he fell to 7. He could have had no injury, and Shady and Sun would have went before him.
Yeah, but the last week or two, he's been steady at 5.
Really?
Okay. He's,
We will get to some of the headlines from yesterday. Unless Odell Beckham's like out for another 7 games, Scott, so you let me know that during the break. That would be very helpful.
No, I didn't wake up to anything like that this morning.
All right, fair enough. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Corey's auction and Matty Mo's draft crowd next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey guys, you had your auction, Corey, last night. You had a best ball, Matt. But before we get into those, I do want to get into some of the headlines, of course, from yesterday, some of the bigger stories. And I want to start here with you, Matt, because the news of Danny Woodhead, like, I feel like he's not getting better.
Yeah, look, hopefully it's not a severe injury. We all know the talent's there. The injury is always on our minds with this guy. He's a little guy. He's 32? But the opportunity that awaits him, and maybe this depresses his price a little, which I welcome that, because I had a ton of him early, and I don't really have that much of late. I guess he's moved up, and I've got some other guys involved on my rosters. But he's a guy, as we go live, and as we go hot, as Corey would say, I do want to have on my team. I just think, what's there? Terrence West, I'm not really a believer, I don't know if it's going to be Terrence West, Buck Allen, whatever. But I know Danny Woodhead, if healthy, is going to eat and eat well.
There you go. Danny Woodhead. Corey, you've been the one that literally said, listen, this guy's going to get hurt. You get him for 2 weeks and he's done.
Yeah.
You might not get him for 2 weeks.
Well, this is the scary part. I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer or Negative Nancy. You feel what I'm saying?
It's too early for that.
It's too early for that. But here's the thing. I'm waiting for him to say he's going to be out for the season.
That's crazy.
Now I'm waiting for him to say that he's going to be out for the season. He doesn't come back from injuries.
That seems like a bit of a stretch.
I don't want nothing bad to happen to Danny Woodhead.
Right, you sound like
pessimistic Patty.
Huh? I don't want nothing bad to happen to Son, you feel what I'm saying, Greg? But when he gets hurt, he's done for the season. Listen, the talent, everything about Danny Woodhead is excellent. He's not going to be on the football field enough to return on the value.
Scotty, last...
How do you spell Christian McCaffrey?
J-E-W-I-S-H.
or you could just Google CMC.
There you go. Greg, I knew you was going to go there, too.
Did you?
Yep, I knew
you were. You're the one that said, how do you spell Christian? I was like, all right.
You're talking about Christian McCaffrey.
You didn't make that clear.
$28.
Oh, man. By the way, I just literally saw this on my Twitter this morning. Corey, congratulations on Tony and Tony's new child. Tony Romo's son.
Yes, Tony Romo had a child.
Son.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what his name is?
Dez.
Close.
What?
Jones.
Oh, nice. Jerry Jones.
You know what the middle name is?
Huh?
You know what the middle name is? Not Jerry. It's McCoy.
McCoy.
Is he friends with LeSean McCoy?
I don't think
so. Is he friends with Colt McCoy? Colt
McCoy. That's my guy.
It's your son's? That's your guy. Next son's name.
That's my next... Greg, don't do that. No more kids coming out. I can't take care of the ones I got.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, I can. I know. Thank you for the anthem, media people.
Speaking of people that can't take care of their people, that's in Jacksonville, where I think we need to go next, Scott. Because we all watched at least parts of Jacksonville's second preseason game and Allen Robinson get open and open and open and Blake Bortles miss and miss and miss. In the third preseason game, to start off the night, it will not be Blake Bortles behind center. It will be Chad Henne, which, again, to me brings up the point that I say about the Giants all the time. I say on this show about the Jaguars all the time. How do you not bring any more competent quarterback than Chad Henne if you are going to legitimately have a competition, which clearly... Chad Henne is now winning. You cannot go into a season, which they're about to, with Chad Henne and Blake Bortles as your starting quarterbacks. It cannot happen, and the Jaguars are about to make it happen.
Well, from an NFL perspective, this is why you have a veteran backup quarterback like Chad Henne, because in case of an injury or disastrous performance like this, you might want to rather have, say, Chad Henne, say, more than Brandon Whedon or something. At least he can decently manage the game.
I don't know if that's true.
I think that's the way the Jaguars look at it. There's nothing there in terms of, offensive move, upside to move the offense. We talked about, if the Jaguars are going to, if the Bills are going to break things up, this would be a perfect landing spot for Tyrod Taylor. I mentioned it earlier in the week. Brock Osweiler's not really going to be improving over Chad Henne, even though the Browns are showcasing him. But look, we saw this coming with Bortles. When we heard that he threw 5 interceptions in a scrimmage, and he just started trending down and down and down and down, this kid is about to hit the bench, and they'd rather go with the veteran. And you wonder, can the veteran do a better job of getting the ball to Allen Robinson?
Listen, Chad Henne is not really the answer here, in my opinion. The answer is Colin Kaepernick. He's sitting out there begging for anyone to sign him. I'd rather have Tim Tebow than Chad Henne in Jacksonville. He'll sell more tickets.
He'll sell more tickets, but will he move the team?
Will Blake Bortles? Will
Chad
Henne? No.
I'd rather have Henne than Tebow.
I don't even think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to do something. I mean, look, even if it's Kaepernick or... Look, I don't think it would take much for the Bills to trade Taylor. I don't think they'd have to give up a top pick or anything. More like a fourth round, maybe even like fifth. I think the Bills would be more than happy to move on. I don't know what the cap space is in Jacksonville. Or even bringing Kaepernick. I don't think Kaepernick's really a good NFL quarterback. He does very well in fantasy, and I think a lot of people get that mixed up because they see the numbers he puts up fantasy-wise. And
sure.
Oh, this guy's... So, but, you know, when the options are Henne and Bortles, you know, I think I'd probably rather go to bat with Colin Kaepernick. So, we'll see. It's surprising for the fact that the defense should be really good. I think it's very underrated. In fantasy, it's a defense I target all the time.
Yep.
You know, I think it has top five potential, and it goes much later on.
Yeah, and you know, you want the quarterback situation to be stable so the defense doesn't mm-hmm. stay on the field all the time and get overworked. But they have a terrific pair of corners now. You know, that's one thing you got to look at with Jacksonville. I have them as my number 9 ranked overall defense. And like Matt said, you have the upside. You know, why not Buffalo? Why not trade Tyrod Taylor? They like Nathan Peterman. Why not give the kid a chance to play?
Nate Peterman's a fifth-round pick.
So?
Yeah, well, Nate Peterman's problem, too, is the arm strength. That's why he is.
What do you mean, so? Nate Peterman's not coming into camp and all of a sudden
they're mortgaging the... If they're looking towards the future, let the kid play now. What the hell?
So you should also trade LeSean McCoy. You should trade every veteran on the team, then.
Okay.
All right. As long as you're cool with that.
He's got to sign off.
I'm hoping to that. I mean, look, it's not what I wanted, you know, but once you traded Sammy Watkins and stuff, and you traded Darby as well. I mean, Darby... is a good player, and he's, what, in his third year? He mm-hmm. was cheap. You don't get, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, I don't care what they try and say, you know. Their argument for them not giving up was that they signed Anquan Boldin. I mean, come on.
Who is no longer on the team.
Yeah,
for the
said sayonara.
Corey, what is Chad Henne being the starting quarterback in Jacksonville due to Allen Robinson's value? Because it's not Blake Bortles anymore.
And you know what? It might make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
No, it really might. Because, I mean, when we did our old school fantasy, the remix on Friday night, we was talking with NFFC Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro about it. And I was like, you know.
He's a co-host of that show, by the way.
Huh?
He's a co-host.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He does a fantastic job. He took us to break.
Not once. I did it twice.
Everybody wants a shot to do that.
Yeah.
Matt, if you'd like to take us to break on this show.
And I was mentioning how his draft stock is going to start falling, and Chris was like, well, it may go up if Chad Henne gets the job, because Chad Henne is likely able to do a better job than Blake Bortles will at this point. So it may stabilize him, but where he's going right now in that fifth round range, I think that's the right price for Allen Robinson.
How much did he go for in your auction last night? I can look that up myself.
Hold on 1 second.
I got it. He went for $26.
Yeah, which is not. Really didn't see no discount on that last night. You're considering the fact that Devontae Adams went 27. For 27. Yeah.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs $20. Yeah. Martavis Bryant $23.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Greg is going to notice something on my roster and blow a gasket at some point when he sees it.
Let's see here. I'm going to blow. Oh, you idiot. How could you do that? How could you do that?
I'm sorry, Greg. Oh, you talked me into it.
I talked you.
You talked me into it.
Me?
Yes.
Why would you say that? I don't own this idiot anywhere.
I had to. Two of your guys.
I thought you were talking about. I'm going nuts over something. I'm blowing a gasket over something else.
What are you blowing a gasket over?
I will never own Duke Johnson ever again.
Oh, look at that.
That's what I'm talking about.
$10. I like that.
That's not even cheap. You spent $10 on this guy.
Spent $10 on Duke Johnson last night.
You wanted Duke Johnson.
Told you that you were going to blow a gasket when you saw it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I paid $10 for Duke Johnson last night. Listen.
And you got Rob Kelly.
I mean, you know, I was in on Rob Kelly.
And
you
got Keenan Allen.
And I took Keenan Allen too. This team's a little bit different than any team I've done.
I bet.
I diversified a lot. If these guys, I like it though. I think I bought some risk in this one. You know what I mean? With some of the players I have on the team. But I think I like the way it came together.
I like that too. Why at 27?
Yeah.
There is risk there, but $27
yeah.
for a player of that caliber.
You figure if you had a healthy Luck going into the season, he would have been probably a $33 to $35 player.
Hey, your receivers are very good.
Yeah, I worry. But see, here's the thing. I got a health concern with Hilton because he's attached to Luck's shoulder. Keenan Allen will never stay on the field.
You got Devontae AJ Parker, Green, though, you know to what back I'm him up, though.
Huh?
You got Devontae Parker as a fourth receiver.
I do have to ask. Unless you come back. Why do you own Deshaun Kizer? Why is that a thing that you have on your team?
I tell you why, and then when we come back.
Please do. It's Roto Rackers in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
So really awesome, sweet. The retweet by Corey Schwartz. Tweeted out by Tim McMaster on baseball tweet. I get to hear what you saw. Amazing, Corey. Last night, of course, Rich Hill, 27 straight outs. Perfect, yeah. No hitter, right? Perfect game, no hitter.
Yeah, perfect. He lost the no hit. He lost the perfect game when Logan Forsythe made the error in the ninth.
Okay, and then lost the no hitter on Josh Harrison's walk-off home run.
Which is probably the best thing that could have happened to the Dodgers.
I don't disagree with you.
Only the fifth major leaguer in the last 50 years to carry a no hitter and into the 10th inning and have it broken up. The last was when Pedro Martinez played for the Expos.
It's a very long time ago. Yeah. 27 outs without a hit, then a home run to the last batter. The night before, Doug Fister had a lead-off home run to the first batter, and then 27 straight outs without a hit.
And Doug Fister did that. That would shock the hell out of me. It did shock the hell out of me.
What was crazy about Doug Fister is the three people that have done it in Major League Baseball history is Doug Fister, Jack McDowell, and Hall of Famer Robin Roberts.
Man, crazy.
Jack McDowell.
Blackjack was good, wow. Man. He was good.
He was. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I used to love watching him pitch.
What did you see on Twitter, Corey, that you found interesting?
Well, not on Twitter. It's something that was on the auction board last night. I was just looking for different, not really trends, but different things and stuff like that. And I looked at the Tennessee Titans wide receivers, the prices of the Tennessee Titan wide receivers. Who do you think was the highest one?
Rishard Matthews.
I always think it's Rishard Matthews, and it never is. I'll go with Eric Decker.
It was Eric Decker.
Yeah.
It should be Eric Decker.
It was Eric Decker.
Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks now, but I flipped on Decker.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you listen to everything in camp, he's been really good. And when Eric Decker's on the field, Eric Decker scores touchdowns. Let's just be honest there.
PPR, I go for Rishard Matthews. 9 touchdowns last year. I think it'll regress a little bit, but I think Mariota's got such a rapport with him. With Decker, I love the guy when he's on the field, but I feel like he's coming off of like a lost season and, you know, playing with a new team there, so he's not my favorite Titans wide receiver.
Eric Decker for 6, Corey Davis for 5. I got Rishard Matthews for 4.
Nice. Yeah, look, Rishard Matthews is going in auctions, in drafts. I mean, he goes criminally late. I mean, I don't have a problem taking him, but for me, Eric Decker has moved up my board significantly, and I've acquired a couple of shares over the last month.
The question I had going to break was to you, Mr. Parson. You own Deshaun Kizer on your team. You
know, yes.
It's a backup quarterback, which I don't necessarily always agree with in general. But your backup quarterback is a rookie starter, potentially, for the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he can run for 50 to 60 yards a game, and that's a free touchdown right there. And how many times? I don't really plan on using him no more than once, maybe twice during the season, if that. I mean, once. I use him once during the season when Matthew Stafford's on
his bye. God forbid, you know, Stafford gets injured. You know, I see where Corey's coming from. You know, you look at this guy, maybe you should have stayed another year in college and the throwing's going to be very erratic. But he's very prone to taking off quickly and rushing. So, you know, I can see where Corey's coming from. It's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I just, number one, I don't love backup quarterbacks.
You don't? Yeah, no. I feel you. In the 16 round thing,
yeah.
I'm not drafting a backup quarterback.
Okay.
In a 20 round thing, and then I'm trying to get to bed too. So I'm, you know, dollar make you holler.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. In the 20 round, especially in a draft, and I think you guys, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, kind of saw that this weekend.
We did.
But it's the truth. You can't like wait. It's a total. It's a different animal. Like a 16 round draft, you can pretty much wait as long as you want to take a quarterback. The first quarterbacks will go off the board, and the second quarterbacks will go up much faster.
Yeah, you know, it is definitely a learning experience for me that in the 20 round draft that you can wait on a quarterback, but you need to make sure you get in before the second run happens. Like, there's two runs. You don't want to miss both runs. Obviously, the fantasy BFFs accomplish that.
Yeah, and I warned him about it on several occasions.
You toyed with that a lot last year, Corey. I remember, like, really, really waiting on the quarterback.
We wasn't together last year, Scott.
In a GST, like, didn't you really wait for, like, your quarterback to, like, really, really late?
I think I did
really
wait too late for my quarterback in a GST last year.
Yeah.
You know what was interesting from your
election,
Corey?
What's up?
Dave Taylor, who's starting lineup, I do kind of really like here with the backs, and but he drafted how many quarterbacks? Four quarterbacks. It's like him with catchers in baseball.
And this is a fab league. It's not like it's best ball. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Can you trade in this league?
No, you can't trade.
Why
in this
would you
league.
Draft four quarterbacks?
I don't know what he's doing. He's hoarding the quarterbacks. Maybe that's his strategy. You know what I'm saying? To kind of make
everybody else.
But why would you put your bread up and do something stupid like that? You feel what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. This dude right here, we've done some, you know, competitions before, and he knows what he's doing, but...
Yeah, and instead of buying four quarterbacks, I mean, after he bought Ben, he could have just went and got himself a tight end, you know, to Evan Ingram as his only tight end. I didn't get that.
I asked you this question as well going to break. Why do teams own two kickers?
I like I said, that might be autonom. Like I said, it was very late.
I don't get it. I see it happen. I see it happen even in like drafts. And
there are some mainstream leagues that actually require you to draft two kickers.
I've never heard that. In my league.
I've seen them.
A mainstream league.
I've seen them.
We've had to draft two defenses and two kickers.
Why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way they rule it sometimes, and sometimes like listeners and followers will say to me, "Oh, I got to draft two kickers, two defenses." I'm like, why is your commissioner doing that? And then you always get the comeback answer. Well, we've been doing it that way forever.
Stupid.
Which doesn't always make it right.
Stupid. Stupid. Let's go to the phone lines. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Kenny, what's going on?
What's up, Kenny?
What's up, Kenny?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing, y'all?
What's going on? You're a little tired there, Kenny. I don't see the... You know.
Yeah, man, I had a draft my first draft last night. I want to discuss my team with you. This is a three receiver, and it is a wide receiver, running back, slash tight end, flex. I think I made a boo-boo. I'm going to see if y'all going to be able to spot it here. And I was picking out of the 12 here, so I thought I had the back-to-back pick. So I got DeMarco Murray, Jordan Reed, Joe Mixon, Crowder, Jimmy Graham, Parker, DeSean Jackson, Kareem Hunt, Phillip Rivers, Duke Johnson, Mike Williams, Rashad Matthews, and the Rams.
Who was the first guy you took? I'm sorry, I missed that one.
It was Murray.
Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. Okay.
You got two You got two members of that Washington passing game on the team. Is that it?
Well, I got two tight ends. I got Jimmy and Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
You can flex one.
Man, though, I don't like. I dealt with a situation last year where I had Tyler Eifert and Travis Kelce. Flexing a tight end. Obviously, if it's Jordan Reed and Jimmy Graham, you want to get both those guys in your lineup. I think both of them has a nice season, especially when Reed is healthy. The thing with flexing a tight end is tight ends really don't go off every week. Now you have two that do, but I would always worry about putting a tight end in the flex spot. That scares me a little bit. I haven't had much success with that because it's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, even like the outside of Kelce and Gronk, I don't know if there's a tight end that I can rely on every week. Reed, you could, but if you can't stay healthy, you know, I think Graham, you know, might have his best season in a few years, but still, you know, might not quite be the New Orleans kind of Jimmy Graham that we're going to see. So, you know, I'm in agreement with Corey. I think unless it's one of the top two tight ends, I really don't want to flex him.
Hey, Kenny, where'd you get Duke Johnson in this draft?
Oh, I got Duke Johnson elite. I was actually I'm all over Duke. I got him like in round 11.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and then I got Rashad Matthews, and I took a flyer on Mike Williams,
With the Chargers?
Chargers. Yeah, the Chargers, yeah. So.
What round did you get Mike Williams?
16?
Yeah, I got him in the 18th over the weekend.
It sounds pretty decent, like a pretty decent job, though, Kenny. You know what I'm saying? This your only league, or you got more you got to do?
No, I got more. I got one on Sunday, and I got another one next week. So this is the first one. I was kind of nervous about this team, especially when I made the boo-boo.
You got any rookies on that team?
Kareem Hunt, and I think that's the only rookie I got. Besides Williams, Kareem Hunt and Williams, those are the only two rookies.
What'd you do? What round did you take Kareem Hunt in?
Kareem Hunt went in the ninth.
The ninth round? Oh, that's good value. That's good value on Hunt right there. Who's your starting running backs?
Got DeMarco.
I got DeMarco Murray, Joe Mixon, and I got Hunt and Duke Johnson. It was only four I had.
I like that.
How many teams are in this league?
It's a 12-team league.
Wow, that's a nice draft. Yeah.
Oh, you said 10?
Yeah, man. Hey, man, listen to y'all, man. Y'all the men.
Thank you.
He said 10 to 12.
12.
Oh, okay. 12.
No, that's nice.
Okay.
So, Hunt in the ninth and Duke Johnson in the 11th.
Yeah, so I mean,
even at a 10-teamer, I'd like that.
If Reed comes out healthy and looks good, maybe you trade him at some point, try to get something back. You know what I'm saying? But because you got enough pieces where you can flex, so you have guys on your bench. So it's a nice deep squad. So good job, Kenny. You listen well.
And the only reason I picked him up was because I heard he was back at practice. I'm a couple of losers, dog.
Yep.
I mean, at that time, there wasn't nobody else that I was.
So wait a minute. So you had to get value on one of those tight ends. So you took Graham in 6 and Duke and Reed in 7 or Grant, or how'd it go? Because I'm thinking you got those guys in back to back rounds.
No, I got Reed in 3 and I got Graham in 6.
That's the mistake, yeah, right there. I was taking Jordan Reed in 3rd. Yeah. Yeah, come on, Kenny.
That's the boo-boo.
Yeah.
It was 2016. No one would have understood it.
I'll tell you what, though. Jordan Reed in the 3rd is obviously too early. But Jordan Reed, I think, is going to rise back up draft boards for this weekend.
Like, yeah, because he was back at practice.
I remember in our GST draft, gentlemen, like, Jordan Reed was just falling. I told you this during the draft, Corey, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to I don't want to do this. Like, I'm not getting involved.
That's the danger about reacting to injuries in the now. You know, he's out. People bump him down. He comes back to practice. They bump him up. You know, you're still going to get hurt.
Yeah, he is going to get hurt. I don't think this is so much reacting to a reaction now. It's more of a reaction to forever about Jordan Reed. Let's talk more about Jordan Reed. We'll get back here on Little Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Going to bring. It's not a point. Like, listen, when a guy is hurt for a while, his value drops precipitously, obviously. But as soon as he comes back, it starts to rise. And I haven't done a draft since Jordan Reed has been back at practice, but I do feel like, Matt, that Jordan Reed is absolutely rising.
Oh, absolutely is correct. I think Monday night he went early 5th round. He was going like late 6th, maybe early 7th. I know Sunday in the GST League, Ronis sniped him 2 picks before me. I was going to take him on that turn. And I was like, was it the seventh round or just before the seventh was starting? And at that point, earlier in that week, I had taken him in the middle of the sixth. And at that point, I felt comfortable enough to take him. You know, to me, he was obviously the best player on the board. So, you know, look, once people saw him off the pup list and now he's practicing, it's, you know, people have that renewed optimist. Like, you know, he's going to be healthy and everything's going to be roses going forward.
Yeah, we were in the GST on Saturday, and I think my partner wanted to take him like as early as like the fifth round or maybe even the fourth. I can't remember. And I was just like, I don't want Jordan Reed here. I'm not doing that. You know, the guy's way too much of an injury risk. He hasn't played a full season in the NFL. You know, we haven't even talked about the concussion issues. And, we, you know, we're talking about turf toe here, which we saw could really, really nag for a while. I wanted no part of when we ended up with Jimmy Graham instead.
It's interesting. I was at the point where I wanted Jordan Reed also, around the same spot, Scott. And I'm like, this is a guy that very easily could be the first tight end or the number one tight end when it's all said and done, as long as he can stay healthy. Of course, he hasn't even been on the field yet at the time. I felt the same way around later. We just didn't pull the trigger. My teammates didn't want him, and we didn't. And you got Jimmy Graham. We got Kyle Rudolph. It's fine. But it's Corey. Yo. Jordan Reed could be a game breaker.
Not Jordan Reed. You know how good he is. It's just a bad matter of fact. Well, he's got two things. He got to deal with his foot, which is more or less going to be a dark days on the day, which is more or less likely going to be a pain tolerance thing. And then the concussion thing is the real scary one, because his concussion's in his season. You feel what I'm saying? And then this would be six for him if he was successful another one this season. That could, you know, in more than his season. So those are the two things you got to worry about. But when a guy is on the field, I think he's the best. I think he's a better player than Rob Gronkowski.
Wow.
Points per game the last two seasons.
Big matchup ball you threw out
there.
He
has done that. What did I find last night in your auction? Rob Gronkowski went for $28.
I told you, that was the first player I threw out.
It was.
And John Puzmer is a very good player. He was the 2014 overall champion in the primetime. So I do like his team. You know, he got Elliott for $28 as well.
Yeah. But see, Elliott and Gronk, like that 28 for Gronk, to me, that's always a mistake, yo. That's too much to pay for a tight end.
I agree. Look, I agree on that. I think even for paying 28, I do like the way his team ended up.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, with Reed and Gronk, you know, talk about them in the same breath because it's the same conundrum. Now, I disagree with Corey that, you know, that that Reed is a better football player than Gronk. Gronk is just like, he's a freak. He's got hands like giant pans, and, you know, he's big and he's fast. It's just like, we've hardly ever seen a tight end like that. But you deal with both the high risk, the high reward with both of these guys.
You obviously do, and I think you can say the same thing, honestly, about some of the quarterbacks that were taking Corey yesterday in your auction, because the quarterbacks, you always feel like, I know, mouse in the house, you're taking a quarterback for an expensive amount. In your auction yesterday, you grabbed Matt Stafford for $5.
Got Matthew Stafford for $5, Deshaun Kaiser a little bit later on for $1. So I dedicated $6 to the quarterback position.
Aaron Rodgers goes for $26. Tom Brady goes for $24.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, number three, at $14.
I find that amazing.
Amazing.
I don't understand how Drew Brees is $14 and Brady and Rodgers are $24.
Almost divisionally double.
I mean, Drew Brees, year in and year out, it's 5,000 yards, 30-plus touchdowns. Look, that to me is like a steal compared to those prices.
You can almost put them in the same tier with those
other
actually, guys.
To me, they are. Everybody easily. I know, it's like Rodgers, Brady, and Brees. Then Brees goes like around, a couple of rounds later. Which, you know.
It might have been, and Corey can confirm, it's probably when they would get thrown out, because you see a lot of good players get thrown out later in the draft, or some good players when people have less money. But I like what Corey did with Matthew Stafford for $5. You know, I got him for like, you know, I think 14 in my dynasty auction. I think people underrate Matthew Stafford because this team doesn't have Calvin Johnson anymore, and it's not an explosive downfield passing game. But he did a really good job of operating a very efficient offense last year and still put up very good numbers. Like Corey has often said, you can wait, you can start Stafford, and you can win in fantasy football.
I don't think it's a question, right? Like, I think it's not quite obvious you can start Matt Stafford and win in fantasy football. I'm along the same lines here, Matt, that it's crazy that Drew Brees goes for significantly less. And that's not the second time this weekend I've seen it, because In my auction over the weekend, you had Aaron Rodgers go for 24, Tom Brady go for 21, Drew Brees goes for 12.
Same thing. And just to make the point here, this is 6 points for passing touchdown. And in that format, I just, you know, I'll take any one of those three and just give me the cheaper guy. So, like, I took GST, 3-4 turn. I took Drew Brees. I had Michael Thomas at the end of our round one. So, I don't know. I'll take Brees every time. You know,
just, what I find interesting about the quarterback prices here, you know, outside of the big three guys right there and outside of homeboy, you know, paying for four of them, Marcus Mariota for 11 was more than Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck. So Mariota, remember I said on the Frenzy yesterday, I was going to look into buying Mariota because of the pieces and the weapons that he got in the offense, but I wasn't going to spend $11 for him. I was trying to get him for 4 or 5.
I feel like Mariota, with a lot of the people I've been talking to, especially this week, is flying up draft boards. I hear people wanting to take Mariota over Wilson and Ryan and Cousins, and I'm just not there yet. You know, it's especially not, you know, if you like that running style of quarterback, I think Wilson's going to bounce back in that department this year, and there's no way I would take him over Matt Ryan. Some people expecting like a big fall off of Ryan. I'm expecting regression, but I still think he'd easily be top five, top six.
Kirk Cousins went for $6. I mean, that's incredible. Quarterback,
that's incredible.
That's a great buy.
I don't think it's so incredible, to be honest with you.
Why not?
I love Kirk Cousins, but that's what he should go for.
$6? Yeah, no, I'm just saying,
compared to $6.
Yes, no. That's $6. What these quarterbacks go for, you know, in auctions.
That's why I did it.
If
Wilson's going for 10, I think Cousins should go for 9.
Here's the thing. Put it like this. $4. My thing with the quarterback last night was I wasn't spending no more than $5 for a starting quarterback, period.
Nor should you.
Yeah,
exactly. I completely agree.
When Dak got to 6, I was out. You
correct.
Know what I mean?
I get it.
I was in on Cousins when he got to 6. I was like, y'all can have him.
Same for Winston,
Cam
I'm
Newton,
sure.
$2 more, yep.
Cam
more,
Newton,
more,
same
more
thing.
More than Kirk Cousins? I'd take that every day with Kirk Cousins.
I think it's a bad buy on Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But I think the price on Kirk Cousins was right. Like, let me read you my quarterback prices. Here. You're the big three on Saturday night, right? Aaron Rodgers 24, Brady at 21, Brees at 12. This is my auction.
Yeah.
Let me give you that next tier. Andrew Luck, $4. Matt Ryan, 3. Russell Wilson, 4. Jameis Winston, 5. Kirk Cousins, 5. Marcus Mariota, 4. Dak Prescott, 2. Ben Roethlisberger, 4. Derek Carr, 3. Matt Stafford, 3.
That's how I think quarterbacks should be valued. You know, but this is 6 points per touchdown pass, so it drives the price up a little bit. But it shouldn't drive the price of Mariota up like that.
No,
because he's not going to throw 30 touchdowns.
Two, though, you look at Rodgers and Brady.
They go for the same.
Do you want to spend $14, $15 more for that top two quarterback when you can get a Kirk Cousins for 6 or Russell Wilson for 9? Or
there's no reason to do it. It's the same thing as a draft. There's no reason to do it.
I
mean, that's what I look at in a lot of my drafts. And if Breeze is there, like in the 5th round or something,
yeah, that's a steal for you.
It's a steal because people are paying, you know, 3rd round prices for Brady and Rodgers. And look, 3 rounds later, you're getting either that first running back for you or that second wide receiver or whatever it is. I mean, I'd rather have that player in. Third,
Matt, as the resident quarterback snob, would you pay $20-something in the auction for a Brady or a Breeze?
No, I try and get, you know, if I was going to pay, I learned a valuable lesson a few years back in my first NFC auction. That was the year when Bradford was quarterback for the Eagles.
Oh, everybody thought he was going to go crazy, yeah. Chip Kelly offense.
And I got into a bidding war with Dave Martino, and it was the worst thing I ever did. Ruined my whole draft. I wound up spending like almost $20 for Bradford.
Yeah, I was
the mouse in the house that day.
Corey, Jameis Winston went for $7. How involved did you get in the bidding?
I got out at 6.
We just talked about this.
I wasn't paying more than 5. So when he hit 6, I was like, you can have him.
We just mentioned that. My question kind of goes along with Max,
Corey.
I'm
sorry.
What's up?
That's all right.
Yeah.
Corey, were you involved in a spot where you're bidding on a player and you got to this number and you're just like, what in the F am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you just stopped.
What do you mean? Like,
you're bidding on, it happened to me, and I was trying to figure out last night who the player was. We're bidding, we're going back and forth, and I just I snap back into it, and I'm just like, what the hell am I doing?
That happened to me with Dez on Sunday night.
Did it?
Yeah, it happened to me with Dez, and you know, starting to get into the 50s. I'm like mid-50s. I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, it's like I want him that bad, but what am I doing?
Correct. Like, you haven't budgeted for, like, say, 40 bucks and, like, yeah, whatever your goal.
When he got to 50, when I hit 58, I said, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. The what the hell am I doing guy was Keenan Allen.
Really?
Yeah, it was Keenan Allen.
And then you got him.
I just was bidding on him, you know, because I thought his price was too low. And then it got to a point where I was like, I don't have him nowhere. He's risky. But then I was like, well, he's mine.
Best sold. Name from last night, I just noticed it, Billy Wise. Lamar, yeah. Miller's.
Lamar Miller's BFF.
Lamar Miller over $21 last
$21 night. For Lamar Miller. $21. When Lamar Miller came on the board, it was a chuckle in the room.
Was there a chuckle in the room? It's not very nice.
Corey was laughing loud.
No, I mean, they knew that, you know.
Tell you this, I find it really interesting. I spoke about this in the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever yesterday. Todd Gurley's numbers continues to rise here. He went for a dollar more than Jordan Howard. Just saying, Gurley's on the rise, Howard's staying. We'll see what happens.
I know why.
Far Park is up next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
At the park, you can sit down each and every day and talk a little fancy football players with baseball players. And Scott, you had the opportunity to catch up with Dylan Betances.
Yes, New York Yankees week on Roto Expert at the park for you, Greg, my friend.
Appreciate it.
And Dylan Betances, the new Yankees closer, is Chapman has been pushed out of the job on his own doing. But Betances is a very, very enthusiastic fantasy football player. When you talk to him, you can hear he's experienced. And I put him on the board. And you can hear the entire interview on a Google Play, iTunes, on demand, about who he picks in certain spots. And first, I asked him a guy we've been talking about a lot this morning, Jordan Reed or Greg Olsen?
Huge Jordan Reed fan. I love Jordan Reed. If he stays healthy, he's definitely one or two. I'm going to stick with him, but, you know, obviously health is a big key there.
Now, Dylan plays in more than one fantasy league and has a real appreciation for fantasy sports, kind of like Sonny Gray, who we were talking to yesterday, and CeCe Sabathia, who's also in three leagues. And I asked him, you know, the favorite question, you know, we've done it for years ever since we started Road Experts at the Park. You love playing fantasy football. How do you feel about being drafted in fantasy baseball?
You know, it's exciting. Obviously, you hear it from a lot of the fans. They're like, they always tell you to... You know, try to keep up the good work if you're doing well. I mean, they're like, oh, I have you on my fantasy team. I'll keep up, striking people out or stuff like that. But for me, doing it for the you know, on the NFL side, it's just exciting. We can talk crap to each other. You know, gives us bragging rights when we're playing each other. We feel like we're actual GMs.
And that's interesting for a player. You know, one of the better answers I've gotten to that question this year. You know, these guys are players, but it can make them feel like an owner and a GM. They like doing it a lot. You know, it stirs some really passionate conversations in the clubhouse that I see around this time of year. Guys talking trades, like, you know, we'll have the Diamondbacks tomorrow and early next week, and they were wheeling dealing with draft picks in the clubhouse. And you just mentioned fantasy football, and everybody's speculating. Everybody's talking about it in the clubhouse. You see reporters talking about it. You see the players talking about it. You see the clubhouse guys talking about it.
Yeah. I shut my mic off to not interrupt Road Rush at the park. And, yeah, 100%. Fantasy football or just football in general, I think, just creates this excitement around everybody. You feel, honestly, that there's a buzz. There's a buzz building. The preseason returns tonight for week 3, which I'm excited for. We'll get into this. We're going to end the game in a little bit. Very, very fun stuff, Scott.
AJ Pollock actually said that exact same thing to me the other day. He goes, this time in the club year in the clubhouse, even though we're focused on baseball, he goes, This is an electric time of year in the clubhouse.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, football has that once-a-week kind of charm. That like, Sundays, for me, in the fall, like that September morning, look, Thursday night kicks it off, but that Sunday, that first Sunday is just kind of awesome.
Yeah, and with the players, it's like, it's interesting because they're professional athletes themselves, and, you know, they have so much respect for the football players, but when they talk about football, they're just like an average fan. You know, it's like, I'll say to them, I say, well, you might know this because you're an athlete, you know, and they're just like, well, I'm not a football player.
You know, it's very funny that you mentioned the first Sunday really kicks it off, Matt, because there is that excitement for that Thursday, though. Like, I know, yeah. I will always remember this, like, rushing home from wherever I was to go watch that first football game, and I didn't take Gronk. I was going to take Gronk that year. I didn't take Gronk a couple years ago. And he scored like 3 touchdowns. I was like, God damn it.
Peyton Manning, 7 touchdown passes on a Thursday night.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah. Hey, we're taking a break. Hour number one, just like that. It's over. It's done. We'll get into hour number two when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.